There, do you have any idea what you're listening to?
London Philharmonic?
It's Venus.
Huh?
Venus.
Why not? We bounced signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear it, the other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Hello and welcome to Media Geek. This is your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. My name is Paul Riesmandel. I'm your host on today's program, Independent Media in Service of Agricultural Workers. We'll be hearing from a representative of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, who are on a tour called the Real Rights Tour, going across the Midwest, culminating in Chicago on April 1st. They're in Champaign-Urbana just a few days ago, and I had a chance to talk to them a little bit about both their low-power FM station and how independent media has helped them win rights and respect from the fast food industry. It's definitely something you want to hear. Do stay tuned. On March 28th, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers were in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, home of WEFT and home of Media Geek, for the McDonald's Truth Tour 2006, the Real Rights Tour, which is part of their campaign to make people aware of the plight of the workers who are tomato pickers in the state of Florida and trying to get better wages and better treatment from the growers, who are primarily serving the fast food industry, companies like Taco Bell, with which they recently won a victory, and McDonald's. And part of their campaign to make people know more about what life is like as an agricultural worker picking tomatoes in Florida has been the use of independent media. In fact, the workers have a low-power FM station in Immokalee, Florida, which they use to help organize and educate the workers who work on these different tomato farms. So I was lucky enough to be able to meet up with Francisca Cortez, who is with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. She also works on the low-power FM station they have down there in Florida. And along with her was Miguel Gutierrez, who was nice enough to act as a translator. She spoke in Spanish, and Miguel helped translate that to English for us. And so, first off, we're going to hear from Francisca tell us more about the tour and the conditions that the workers work under in Florida and what they're trying to achieve with the tour. And then we'll hear more about how they've used independent media and how things like Low Power FM have helped them greatly. This is Francisca Cortez of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers.
Bueno, esta es una gira que empezó este 26 de este mes de marzo.
The tour began on the 26th of March, and it's essentially us, the workers, taking our message out across the country to the students, organizations, and communities that support us to get the word out about what our campaign against McDonald's and why it is that we're initiating this campaign.
So why are you having the campaign against McDonald's? What's the problem?
Bueno, el problema con McDonald's en este momento es que no están.
Well, our problem with McDonald's is that they're not listening to what we're demanding from them, and what we demand is economic relief, respect for our rights, and actually real rights.
Porque después de que ganamos la.
After our victory against Taco Bell, we sent letters to McDonald's and others in the fast food industry as a following to that campaign, asking for essentially the same that we had demanded of Taco Bell, and they have not responded in a very constructive way.
Y lo que hicieron es formar una organización que se llama
SAFE. And what they have done is created this organization called SAFE, which translates to Safely Accountable Farming Employers, which is composed of the Florida Vegetable and Fruit Growers Association and the RCMA, which is a child care organization. And essentially it creates this code of conduct, which includes everything other than what the workers actually need or have demanded.
Entonces, con esta organización, lo único que están haciendo es...
So what this organization is doing essentially is negating everything we accomplished during the Taco Bell campaign, where Taco Bell agreed to pay one more penny per pound tomatoes they consume from Mockley, and where they also brought us to their level where we now know who they purchase from and how much they purchase, and we work together with them to make sure that this wage increase reaches the workers.
Todo lo que hemos ganado por 4 años están tratando de empujarnos otra vez bajo la mesa. Y aparte de
another part of this SAFE organization has been the undertaking of a labor study by a nun that McDonald's has employed previously in other labor disputes. And from the outset, the general thrust of this study has indicated that farm workers are not actually poor, that they earn $10 to $14 an hour and don't live in very dire conditions. But in reality, we do live in dire conditions.
Pero lamentablemente... vivimos todavía en esas condiciones. Entonces, lo que nosotros decimos
given
es que
that workers haven't been included in any of these proposals from SAFE from the very beginning, it's entirely possible that this study will conclude without anyone ever actually having stepped on an agricultural field, and all the information and documentation being supplied from growers, which as has been our experience, is sometimes falsified, where when you actually work 10 hours, they will really only count for 4. And when you have 4 hours and the amount that one earns in 10 hours, it seems like you're earning more than you actually do. That's why today many of us workers are here on tour, missing about maybe 10 days of work, to get out in the community and across the country to make sure that everybody knows that these ideas that McDonald's is proposing or advancing are the reality.
And so on your tour fighting McDonald's, what are you doing in the cities where you're stopping?
Bueno, estamos haciendo presentaciones, hablando...
Well, in addition to actions, we're getting out and talking. We're talking to student groups, religious groups, and community, talking about what we've mentioned in terms of why we're launching this campaign against McDonald's and what's the motivation. And...
y que sí vamos a poder ganar esta campaña contra McDonald's. Simplemente es va siempre a tardar, ¿no?, cada lucha. Entonces, es por eso que estamos hablando de diferentes, dando diferentes presentaciones y viendo videos y usando dibujos que usualmente usamos en nuestra comunidad.
And what kind of actions are you doing?
Bueno, estamos haciendo protestas. Y estamos,
well, we're protesting. Essentially, these actions are protests against McDonald's. Under the umbrella of the Alliance for Fair Food, but we're waiting until the 1st of April to decide whether or not we're going to initiate a boycott campaign against McDonald's.
Por cuál rumbo tomar, pero en este momento estamos en esa campaña Alianza por Comida Justa. Y la primera protesta hicimos en Gainesville.
The first stop was in Gainesville when that marked our initial first ever action against McDonald's. And we noticed that there was a lot of excitement with our supporters there, but there was also a lot of fear in on part of McDonald's because there were actually 4 corporate representatives there and they were taking pictures of the action constantly. And so if anything, that to us that's a sign of that, you know, the pressure's on and they're feeling it and they're interested in seeing what we're going to do.
Estamos haciendo algo malo, yo no sé, pero están tratando de ver qué estamos haciendo. Entonces eso es algo interesante, que están sintiendo la presión de nosotros. Entonces no es...
And in the action, in the subsequent actions on the tour, on our way here, it's been the same thing at every stop, every McDonald's action.
Y esperamos que ellos tengan la conciencia de que...
And we hope that they understand that we have the strength to continue, and that we're going to continue struggling with this campaign until they meet what it is that we demand.
If McDonald's meets your demands, how will that change life for the workers?
Bueno, va a cambiar como cambió con...
Well, it'll change workers' lives as the Taco Bell agreement has changed workers' lives, and that's immediate economic relief with the wage increase. the feeling that you're a part of this supply chain, this corporate supply chain, and also that there's an immediate sense of respect and dignity from growers and subcontractors that work that you work for in the fields, because that's really what this is, an essential part of the struggle is that we're not treated like human beings, we're treated like animals, and we're not animals. And a lot of times you see a lot of these the fast food industry often comes to agreements with other groups about animal rights, but they refuse to even address workers' rights.
And you're listening to an interview with Francisca Cortes from the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, and translated by Miguel Guitares. And this is Media Geek, your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. I'm your host, Paul Rees-Mandel. And we're listening to this interview because the Coalition of Immokalee Workers are currently on a tour called the Real Rights Tour, in which they are targeting the fast food chain McDonald's. It is the McDonald's Truth Tour, in which they're asking the company to give them a little bit more money for their labor supplying tomatoes to that fast food giant and others. You can check out Media Geek online at www.mediageek.net. You can get the radio program online as well. You can get it as a podcast automatically downloaded to your computer or MP3 player, or you can just listen to it right there. It's radio.mediageek.net. If you have any comments, send them off to me, Paul, at mediageek.net. And we'll now continue with this interview with Francisca Cortes of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, where we'll talk a little bit more about how the workers have used independent media. So you have a low-power radio station in Florida?
Sí, tenemos una radio comunitaria en Immokalee que
es. We have a community radio station in Immokalee, which only has an 8-mile radius. But for us workers, it was always a dream, and once we accomplished this dream, we found that it's been a success. And so now we're working with people and trying, gathering donations, try to get a high power tower. Hopefully to continue with the effort.
Para tener también una torre grande porque. Gracias al apoyo de la gente que son como ustedes, nos ayudaron a construir una pequeña torre, la cual estamos usando ahora.
We also have members of the organization that work voluntarily in the evenings and on weekends when they're not on the job with their particular radio programs. And so that's how we function, from donation to donation. And whenever we have problems, we have technicians that sometimes help us, but always at free of charge.
Sabe y tienen que apoyarnos gratuitamente, entonces es así que está funcionando nuestra radio. Es una parte de la comunicación, no.
It's an integral part of the communication strategy because some people can't regularly attend our meetings, but we have discussion. Not only promoting meetings, but also about the issues, the workers' issues, and whoever across the Immokalee can access the radio station can learn about that.
Así que nosotros pudimos avanzar con la información, y cada gente que pudo escuchar pudo habernos apoyado en esta lucha.
How do you feel your fight has been portrayed in mainstream news, in the newspapers in Florida, or even national newspapers, national TV?
Bueno, en algunos artículos sí se ha como hablado.
Well, it's our experience that in some articles are the issues been well expressed, but oftentimes in some of the corporate media, there's a limit to how much they can say, and there's always also, usually they come to their own conclusion, which does not necessarily depict what we're trying to express.
And your tour now, I know that you stopped before I talked to you. You got a chance to speak with the low-power station in Urbana, WRFU. Are you getting a chance to work with independent media across the country?
Pues yo creo que sí.
Yeah, that's the plan. Last night someone had an interview with independent media from Madison, and we hope to continue speaking with independent media because they've offered large support during our struggle.
And what are you asking people to do, people listening to this interview, what can they do to help?
Bueno, lo que estamos pidiendo es el apoyo de la gente.
Well, what we're asking of listeners is for your support. We have letters that we're sending out to managers from branches all over the country of McDonald's. We have postcards that are being sent to the president of McDonald's, and you can access all this information on our website, but you can also get out to the large national action that we're having on the 1st of April in Chicago. And if you want to contact us, our website is www.ciw-online.org.
And now it's an interview with Francisca Cortes from the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. Translation provided by Miguel Quiteras, who is also on the tour. The McDonald's Truth Tour, the Real Rights Tour, wraps up in Chicago on April 1st for a major march and rally, including a protest at the so-called Rockin' Roll McDonald's in the Loop there in Chicago. And this is Media Geek. I'll be back in just a moment with some news of our media environment. And of course, you can check us out online, MediaGeek.net. Do stay tuned. Welcome back to Media Geek. About a week ago, actually about 2 weeks ago, the FCC released a whole pile of indecency fines, all for different television programs. And one of the ones that got a lot of press is for the program called Without a Trace, which is a primetime crime drama that airs on CBS at the latest portion of primetime, which is 9 p.m. in the Central and Mountain time zones and 10 p.m. in the Eastern and Pacific time zones. And I had several posts about this and the FCC's new regime, so-called, on indecency on the Media Geek website. But an interesting thing about the difference between the Eastern and the Pacific time zones. According to the libertarian blog TechLiberation.com, the FCC actually has issued erroneous fines to TV stations in Indiana that aired the program Without a Trace. The program does air at 9 o'clock Central Mountain Times, but 10 o'clock in Eastern and Pacific Time, and that's a crucial difference. That's because it's the crucial hour at which indecency ceases to be indecency. Fines cannot be issued for programming that happens after 10 p.m. on broadcast stations, even if the FCC finds it to be indecent. 10 p.m. is the beginning of what is known as Safe Harbor. And after that time, until 6 a.m., broadcasters are permitted to air more adult fare. And so to be fair, though, as many residents of East Central Illinois, home of Media Geek, know, Indiana time is confusing because the state doesn't go on daylight savings time. And so during the summer, it's the same time as Central Time here in Illinois, except for a few northeastern countries which do stay on Central Time. But the rest of the state is on Eastern Time. But it's not retroactive here, even though Indiana is scheduled to begin daylight savings time soon. So those Indiana CBS stations aired the program on Eastern Time, 10 p.m., for which they should not be fined for any violations of indecency. So it looks like someone needs to buy the FCC a decent time zone map so they can know who's 9 o'clock and who's 10 o'clock. Just one of the little interesting arcane parts of broadcast indecency law. But sometimes it's more important than you think. And recently on Media Geek, I reported on a crackdown on unlicensed rural community radio stations in Guatemala. The assault on community radio is also happening thousands of miles away in the Bihar state of northeastern India. The station Radio Raghav FM Manzurpur was shut down on March 26th by the government under the Indian Telegraphs Act. It was founded in 2003 by Raghav Mato, an electronic equipment repairman for less than a dollar. Mato served his local community with news, information, and music programming. The action against Radio Raghav FM Mansurpur 1, Mansurpur 1, started in February after a series of articles appeared in the Indian and international press about the popular success of the FM station, which was an enormous hit with the local community. In February, the BBC World Service posted a report on its website. Mato told the press that when he set up the station, he didn't know he was obligated to get a license. He told the Times of India, quote, "I don't have the money for the license fee. I don't even have the money for medical treatment for my father, who is suffering from cancer," end quote. In a press release, Reporters Without Borders said, quote, "It is one thing to apply the law, but to forcibly close down a community-type radio station is a sign of intransigence by the authorities over the emergence of pluralism on the airwaves," end quote. They go on to say, quote, "We believed the recent licensing of FM stations was an encouraging sign, but the closure of Radio Raghav FM Mansurpur 1 underlines the fact that India was the last country in South Asia to accept independent news broadcasts on FM," end quote. Unlike the United States, which has had pretty much independent non-governmental broadcasting since the beginning of broadcasting, and much of the rest of the world, including South Asia, including India, including Europe, independent broadcasts on radio especially are a thing that has fairly recently come all the way up until the 90s and the 2000s in many countries, which is why independent community stations like this have been all the more important. Not as if we haven't seen the FCC crack down on independent unlicensed stations here in the U.S. as well. Well, and looking to Washington and looking to Congress, as I've been reporting here on Media Geek week after week, this is a big year for telecommunications and communications legislation as the Congress tries to put together what is commonly called the Telecommunications Act of 2006, updating a lot of provisions that were in the last Telecommunications Act of 1996. You might be aware that the Telecommunications Act of 1996 was one law which greatly deregulated the radio airwaves and allowed the creation of Clear Channel by lifting the national ownership cap on radio station ownership and also greatly increasing the number of stations any given company can own in a given market. Things like that could be in the offing for 2006, but it's getting more difficult for both the House and the Senate. The Senate Commerce Committee has been looking at a lot of different provisions that could go into a bill. One of the biggest priorities in both the Senate and in the House that we've been talking about is creating a so-called national franchise for cable television, so that instead of negotiating with local communities to add a cable television service, they would negotiate with, there would be a standard negotiation and a standard fee at the national level. And this is to allow the entry of companies like AT&T and Verizon to begin offering cable TV services over their broadband internet lines so that they don't have to spend 10 years building it up like the cable companies had to with individual franchises with local communities. They can instead do it on a national level. The problem with that may be that it will hurt things like public access television and community and educational channels, which are largely funded by the fees that cable companies pay to local communities in exchange for using the public right of way. That does seem to be fairly popular with both parties and in both houses of Congress, although Representative John Dingell, a Democrat from Michigan and a ranking member of the full Energy and Commerce panel, has offered a written response to a draft bill that is in the House saying, quote, "Does it ensure that the benefits of video competition are available to all Americans, or will some Americans be left behind? And does it protect the internet as we know it today?" End quote. So of concern is, will there be cherry picking where Verizon and AT&T only offer broadband cable service to the most affluent areas in cities and town, or will they be required to offer it to all areas of a city or town if they're going to offer it at all? And also, as we talk about the notion of protecting the internet, has been this notion of network neutrality, or will companies like AT&T and Verizon have the ability to block off or tier or degrade the service of content that comes from outside their own coffers? Will they be able to degrade the content coming from, say, Google Video or YouTube to customers, or require YouTube or Google Video to pay a special fee in order to reach the customers who get their DSL service from Verizon or AT&T because they'll want to give a privilege to their own cable service. They'd rather you got your TV from them than from some outside source. And there is still just not a lot of consensus on these issues. In the Senate, there seems to be a bit more consensus, with some Republican senators even supporting things like network neutrality, like Senator John Ensign, Republican of Nevada, whereas Senator John McCain, the former chair of the Senate Commerce Committee, still seeming to be undecided on this issue. It's something which Democrats seem to be generally pushing more than Republicans, but it seems to be a fairly individualistic issue rather than a party issue. Another thing that could be in the offing is a great increase in indecency fines, which the ACLU recently wrote would be a great clampdown on free speech. And given that we just saw a large number of fines issued for television, we can see now a little bit more of what the FCC thinks is indecent and what is finable, and there's more about that on the Media Geek website. And there's still fines to be coming from the FCC for radio. We haven't seen any radio fines in more than a year, and there is a pile, and they're just getting moving them through and going to be making the fines very soon. And so this is something, though, the Telecommunications Act of 2006, so-called, that Senator Ted Stevens, who is the chair of the Senate Commerce Committee, would like to see done with during this congressional season, especially see done with before the election season and the midterm elections this November. But finding any sort of consensus in either House of Congress is very difficult, especially because even the telecommunications industry, like AT&T and Verizon, are at odds with communications providers, or I'm sorry, content providers, or internet companies like Google and YouTube, and then the smaller companies like Quest and other smaller competing telecommunications companies have their own agenda, often at odds with AT&T and Verizon. It is indeed a fight of the lobbyists. It is indeed a fight of the senators and the representatives. But is it a fight of the public? That is the big question, whether or not anyone is listening or cares. That brings to a close another edition of Media Geek. I'm your host and producer, Paul Riesmandel, and I'll be back in 1 week with more news about grassroots and independent media, as well as our media environment. In the meantime, check out Media Geek online at MediaGeek.net. where you'll find the Media Geek blog with frequently updated news and views about our media. You can also download the program at radio.mediageek.net or subscribe to the podcast to have it automatically downloaded to your computer or MP3 player. That's all at mediageek.net. The closing music is Fire in the Sky by Adam Lowow. Media Geek is produced live at Community Radio WEFT in Champaign, Illinois. Some segments are pre-recorded at Media Geek Studios. And Media Geek is heard on 9 other community stations around North America, including KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, KQRP in Salida, California, KRBS in Oroville, California, WSLR in Sarasota, Florida, WTND in Macomb, Illinois, WRFA in Jamestown, New York, CKDU in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and Free Radio Olympia in Olympia, Washington. Media Geek is free to air on your local community radio station, too. Just drop me a line at paul@mediageek.org. That email address is also good for any comments you want to send in about the program. Once again, that's paul@mediageek.org. Thanks for tuning in.